Well, the shiur is Derech Hashem, shiur number 22, Wednesday, Yud Ches Silev, December, shiur number 22, Wednesday. And so we're starting, we're learning Derech Hashem, we're in section 1, and we'll start from the beginning of Perkei again. So in the beginning of Perkei, the Derech Hashem, the Ramchal, talks about things, and it seem us like, why do you have to know these things for? And almost like pointless. But what the Ramchal is following, what he declared, his style of writing, he declared in the Hakdama to the Sefer, that he wants to make sure, instead of just throwing a bunch of pieces of knowledge at you, he builds it up from the bottom, from the roots of the tree, and, you know, so you see what follows from what, what's dependent on what, how things developed in such a way. So he's really going through it quickly, I mean, making lists and categories, but the purpose is to better, his point is he's going to be talking about Hashgacha. He's going to talk about how Hashem runs the world, events that happened, how we never thought about it before. We always said, okay, Hashem said it should happen, so it happened. Like, why is it more sophisticated than that? But that's really as superficial as saying, you know, when I walk into a room and I flip the switch, the light goes on. So why does the light go on? I don't know, what do you have to know for? What do you have to ask questions for? You flip the switch, light goes on. That's why saying Hashem said something should happen, it should happen. Now, if I had to explain why when you flip the switch, the light goes on, that it's not so simple that when you flip the switch, the light goes on, there's something called electricity, and there's something called a power plant, and there's something called a light bulb, and there's different kinds of light bulbs, and you connect it to a power plant, and it's applying electricity to the building, and when you flip the switch, this is what happens. And all of a sudden, it becomes enormously complex and complicated. And if any step breaks down along the way, the light's not going to go on. And there are many, many different places that it could break down. But it's certainly not that my flipping the switch makes the light go on. Although, it does. The sentence is true, but it's a very, very childish, superficial, worse than superficial, it's a silly way of looking at it. It's like, you know, a child thinks, you know, when I cry, I get my food. So my crying makes the food come. Right? And I like that. You cry. So first of all, it starts off with vocal cords and it sounds off with sound being emitted. And then there's sound waves and it reaches the ear of the mother. And the mother has a memory and she remembers that when the child cries, without memory, so you wouldn't know what it means the child's crying. But you remember that the child cries when it's hungry. Right? So that's memory. And then you go and you have to prepare the food and you have to bring it. I could write a book about a child crying and the mother bringing its food. Write a book because you have to explain the mother's ability to get the food, to cook the food, to make her muscles work. Everything's enormously complicated when you break it down to the, and then you break it down more to the blood flow and the molecules. I mean, everything is enormously complicated. It's laughable to say, well, I don't know. Now, you can go through life and you'll probably get along fine saying, when I flip the switch, the light goes on. But, first of all, you're not really understanding the reality. Second of all, one day the light's not going to go on. And you're not going to know why. And you're not going to know if you should, because you don't know, I flipped the switch and the light didn't go on. The switch must be broken. Because you don't know about anything else. But that's not true. Could be there's a blackout and there's no electricity to the building. Could be you didn't pay the bill, right? It could be the whole block's not having electricity. It could be there's a short in the system. You know, it doesn't mean the switch was no good, but if all you know is when I flip the switch, the light goes on, then you say, okay, you know. So, when we say, when Hashem says something, it happens, and Hashem controls history, that sentence, although it's true, is as superficial as saying when I flip the switch, the light goes on. It's just as superficial, just as shallow. And it doesn't really begin to give me a glimpse into the mechanics of Hashgacha and how Hashem makes things happen in this world. And it's not so simple, etc. So the Ramchal is going to describe the physics, that's what it is, the spiritual physics of Hashgacha. How does it happen that Hashem wants something to happen and it happens? How does that happen? Where do malachim fit into the picture? There's different kinds of malachim. And where does Bechira fit into the picture? And maybe it's not always Bechira. Sometimes it is Bechira, sometimes it's not Bechira. What do malachim do? What do the kochovim do? Mazalos, we hear about these things sometimes. It's just as complicated as, at least as complicated as the physical world. And just like, but we're children, because we don't really understand the spiritual world at all. So just like to a child, there is nothing more complicated than, you know, once he's 3 years old, 2 years old, he chaps that when you flip the switch, the light goes on. But he doesn't chap that there's anything else in the world other than you flip the switch and the light goes on. That's what we are. We're children when it comes to the spiritual world. Hashem wants something to happen, it happens. It's very complicated. It's very complicated. Why is it complicated? Because Hashem works with the hierarchy. It's not, or else everything would be like Sheshi Shemei Bracious, you know, Vayam Hashem Yiyor, Vayiyor. Not that simple anymore. Anyway, so the Ramchal will be talking about, in this perek, how Hashgacha works. I call it the physics of Hashgacha. How does Hashem make something happen? Who are the shluchim? You need malachim. What role do malachim play? What are malachim anyway? Etc. He doesn't start with that, because that's what he explained in Tanakh Dhamma. He doesn't want to start with just throwing information at you. So he builds it up. Right? If you want to understand how the light goes on when you flip the switch, you have to start with, okay, explain to you what electricity means. Say, electricity means, what are you making me crazy? You give me a headache. What electricity means? What do I care what electricity means? Just tell me how the light goes on when I flip the switch. So I say, I can't really. You know, I have to build it up from the bottom floor and build it up, and then you'll understand, and then you won't get, and this is all coming from the Ramchal's Hakdama, that you won't get overwhelmed with information. You won't know where anything fits in. You won't know what's a klal and what's a prat and what's the rule and what's the exception and what's the cause and what's the effect. So that's why the beginning of Perek Hamishi sounds, it might not be boring because you might find it interesting, but it sounds a little like, why do I have to know this? Like, it's just because he's building from the bottom floor and up. He explains to you, what are malachim? What are they? So, he starts with Perikei on the bottom floor, explaining the things that exist in this Bria, in this, you can't say in the world of ours, because if you say the world of ours, it means the globe. There's very little, very small little dot in the universe. In this world of ours, meaning the Bria. So Chelkei Klal HaBriya Shnayim, first step is to split it into two categories, Gashmiyim V'Ruchniyim. Gashmiyim and Ruchniyim, right? Okay. Gashmiyim HaMurgosha Mechushenu, we can tell with our senses. We have five senses, and we can relate to these here. We are aware of their existence through our senses. We feel them, we see them, we hear them, we touch them, right? Now, that doesn't mean without tools. There's microscopes, and there's telescopes, and there's Geiger counters, and there's dog whistles. I mean, there are tools that we use to... But that's okay, because the tools just help us detect these things with our senses. You know, It's all, it boils down to the five senses. The microscope and telescope help you see something that you ordinarily wouldn't see. But you're still seeing it. You're still using the power of sight, which is one of the five chushim. You're still using the power of hearing, etc., etc., etc. Umischalkem l'nyonim v'tachtonim. Gashmius, the things exist in two spheres called Elyonim and Tachtonim. Elyonim and Klal Hagromim Hashemaimim. The Elyonim are the heavens. Includes, my theory is that this is everything outside of the Earth's atmosphere. But whatever it is, it includes all the planets and it includes Dainu HaGalgalim, all the billions of stars, the Kochvehem. Right, the mazalos and the kochavim that are in the mazalos. V'hatachtonim heim klal ma'ashebechlal hagalgal hatachton. What's in the lowest sphere? Again, we're talking about gashmius. We're talking about things you can sense with your senses. You could sense. You don't say sense with your senses. You could feel them, or see them, or hear them, or touch them, and it's working with your senses. So, everything in this earth, Ainu Haaretz, Hamayim, the water, Avir, the air, Choma Shebehem, and Agufim Hamurgoshim, things that are ultimately can be detected by, again, if you're given the right tools, you can detect it down in Haaretz. It's part of Gashmiyustika world. V'haruchniyam, okay, so that's physical. The senses, we said even through Kalim, split into Elyonim and Tachtonim. I don't know offhand of a difference if it's Elyonim or Tachtonim. I guess the difference is, you know, we're the theater. Tachtonim is the theater where things are happening. This is why Hashem created the world, for the sake of the Tachtonim, and that's why things happen, and they happen in the Tachtonim. Things happen in the Elyonim, L'marshal, even if two comets crash into one another, so we don't see that as happening in our world, and we don't relate to it the same. Sometimes, yeah, Chazal tell us if you see a solar eclipse, if you see a lunar eclipse, but so that's Kashmis. B'choma shebehem min argufim hamurgoshim. B'choma shebehem min argufim hamurgoshim. In Oretz. In this halal avir called Oretz. V'haruchniyam heim nivram mishulolam igashem. You would expect that. Ruchniyastik beings are lacking that human component of Kashmius of Shulalami Geshem. It has no angle of Kashmius. It's not limited by the things that Kashmius is limited by, and so it's right, we know about them because of Masorah. That's how you know about them, that they exist. And these ruchniyistic things, the first chiluk is two categories. That is very interesting. He puts neshamos in, neshamos are purely spiritual entity, right? Not, nothing physical there. What? I'm sorry? Nivdolim means, well, it's a very hard word to translate, but it means, I mean, the best definition I have is transcendent. Transcendent means, you know, Balaz, you say above it all. It's not kashur to anything. It's above. It's above the Gashmiyastika world. It's not tied to the Gashmiyastika world. It's a force in itself. It's not tied to Gashmiyus at all. The neshama will go into a guf, he says. But then the Nivdalim are transcendent over all Geshem, and they're not, they have no connection to Geshem. Okay? That's the best we're going to do. That's what it means. I mean, you're saying you don't know what transcendent means. It means it's above Gashmius. Gashmius is a very lowly thing that we share with animals, and this is closer to Hashem. That's what it means, spiritual. It brings you closer to Hashem, and you shake away the Gashmius. That pulls you away from Hashem, and that's it. So the Nivdalim, he puts into two categories. The type of creations is added to Lavo B'tol Chaguf, their osid, their future, is to enter a guf. So it's a different sug than the other Nivdalim. Ligovel bo, it's mamish to make it. Like a dough is kneaded, K-N-E-A-D-E-D. So the neshama is nivlal, is kneaded within the guf. It doesn't have its own compartment and stays aloof from the guf. It's mamish mixed thoroughly with the guf. Uli kosher bo b'kesher amitz, it's tied to it. To die, your neshama has to leave the body first. Neshama leaves the body. V'lifal bo pulo shonos, it affects the guf. Bezmanim shonim at different times. Before tchias ameisim in one way, after tchias ameisim in another way, as the Ramchal explained before. So that's the period. Okay. So apparently that's when he says it's that the shamos are asidim liv. His adadu, their future is lavo b'toch guf. It means that that's not even really the point. That's a coincidence. I don't know if that would be made into a different category. I think the point is that it transforms the guf into gashmius. It has properties that the other nivdolim don't have. A malach cannot turn anything gashmi into ruchni. A malach can't mess up his ruchnius by making it gashmi. Person can. A person can, that's what he says, you go through life and you're talking about taking care of things that you have to take care of. And that's what Neshama, there min ruchim, the visadisu lava b'toch ha-guf, the gogo b'tocho, to be needed within the guf, the kosher bo b'kesher amitz, and to hook up with the guf. To hook up with the guf in a way that the guf understands and it needs what the neshama has to offer in order to understand any Torah, in order to know anything about Hashem. And it affects the guf differently. After tchias ameisim, it transforms the guf. Before tchias ameisim, it's there, but it doesn't transform the guf. So that's a malach. A malach is, he's not connected to gashmius in the way that when you're opposed to something connected, so the money becomes so this is a hybrid that I'm sorry this is a hybrid that no other creation has. It's complete ruchnius and complete gashmius, like an animal, ruchnius of the highest sort, and they're hooked together and they're bound together and they're dependent on each other. And the neshama can get muddied from its, if it's too much reliance on the guf, and the guf could miss the boat. I miss it if it has too much reliance on the neshama. It's a mizug. The animals are not a mizug. Malachim are not a mizug. Kavril is not a mizug. Mizug means a hybrid. Mankind has a hybrid. That was the point, right? That he should be able to Bizochet Olam Haba through dealing with the gashmiyustik of things in his life. Nivdolim, in contradistinction to neshamos, but we're still talking about Nivdolim. They're not They're not kosher to anything physical, but there's still two types. Nobody's planning on putting them into a goof. But more than that, you have to realize all the ramifications of being in a goof. It means Hashem punishes you together. It means Hashem won't forget one of you while punishing the other. You're always involved in what's going on in each other's lives. So of those forces that are not put together with a goof, into the goof, nechlagim l'shnei chalokim. Again, two types. Echad nikra kochos, hasheni malochim. Kochos, Rav Chaim Friedlander explains, means kochos, it means abilities, characteristics. Chesed, and really these refers to the midos of Hashem, or the Yud Gimel midos of Rachamim, and it talks about chesed and gvura and teferes, right? That's what kochos means. They're powerful emanations emanating from Hashem, and we're supposed to hook on to it as much as we can, so we have that. V'hasheni malochim, and kochos have no personality. Chesed is chesed, gevura is gevura, tferes is tferes, neitzach, neitzach, what? Malachim have a personality. Malachim have individuality. We talk about Malach, Mr. Malach A, Mr. Malach B, Mr. Malach C. They have self-identity. They have an identity. The midah of chesed emanating from Hashem doesn't have its own identity. It's the midah of chesed, gevurah, tferes. Malachim have an identity. Gavriel, Michael. They have an identity. They have a post office box. They have an identity. They have a tudat zehut. Malachim have a zehut. Kochos do not have a zehut. Kochos are just spiritual forces in the universe. See, and it's not Hashem. It's Hashem. It's emanating from Hashem. Chesed, Gevurah, Teferes. It's called the 10 spheros. 7 midos and 3 chachma bina das. We call it Yutes Kislev, right? We'll say chachma bina das, but that's emanating from Hashem, right? We maybe think of it when we say Shiras Omer. If you look at the Siddur, yeah.
Well, we're not up to that.
We're not up to that yet. How malachim work? Right now, he's just saying there's kochos and malachim. So I'm explaining. Rav Chaim Friedlander explains the word kochos as spiritual forces in the universe. Let's say in the physical world you have gravity, magnetism, right? You have forces in the universe. They are gashmi. You could experience them. You can see them, but you can feel them, right? You feel the gravity, you feel magnetism. So there are forces in the universe called kochos, that's what he calls them. And I'm telling you, it's chesed, gevura, it's forces, it's spiritual forces. When we talk about, you know, that I want to relate to midos ha-chesed, it's a midah, right? These things are midos Hashem, the seven midos. Chesed, gevura, teferes, neitzach, hod, yisod, malchus. I think I got them all, maybe I skipped one. They're kochos. They don't have an identity. There's no Mr. Chesed. It's a force in the universe.
It
was supposed to. It's a force. Like we tap into gravity, we tap into magnetism, we tap into electricity. I think, let's say electricity is a force in the universe. So we tap into Chesed, Gevura. But they don't have an identity. What do I mean? A Malach has an identity. They even have awareness. They exist. They exist. They're not people, they're malachim. But they exist. They are entities with awareness of self and an identity. That's the difference between, as Rav Chaim Friedlander explains, the difference between kochos and malachim. We'll see they have different roles. Oh, we'll see that in the coming paragraphs. Because he's going to explain the spiritual physics of everything that goes on in the world. But I don't want to say just they do different things. I want to explain why it's two different categories. We're going to see about malachim. Right now, the important thing is just to say what kochos are, and Rav Chaim learns that they are spiritual forces, which we know as the either ten spheros or the seven midos and the three chachmos, whatever they're called, right? And malachim have, and they don't have identity. It's like saying in the physical world, the equivalent would be gravity, you know, gravity, magnetism, electromagnetic, whatever there is at the poles, the North Pole, the South Pole, South Pole, whatever there is, right? And they don't have an identity. They just, there's forces. And then malachim have identity. Malachim are spiritual beings. They're a being. The kochos are not beings. They were created, but they're not a being. A malach is a spiritual being. Okay. Don't worry, it gets even more complicated.
The kohen can be negative as well?
Isn't either negative? Is gravity positive or negative? It's nothing. It's a koach in the universe. You could use chesed badly. Right, you can use chesed. That's why, like in the most glaring example, when a person marries a sister and is over in their sakaris, so the chumash describes it as chesed, who's their best friends, and they're getting it. Yishmael like siphoned off. It's a very famous idea that he siphoned off, so to speak, the chesed that Avram brought down into the world, and he used it for bad. And Esav used Gevura for bad, and Yaakov's bad. You can use anything for bad or good. That's part of the fun of living, that anything can be used for good or bad. Okay, v'gam heim mimalos rabbis v'shoros. When you say malachim, because if you daven shachris, you may notice at one point you say v'ha'ofanim v'chayos hakodesh. That's only two. There's a hierarchy of malachim. There's a hierarchy, like there's, it's a cabinet. Think of the malachim as Hashem's cabinet. So the Rambam says there are ten. There's ten levels of malachim. I don't have the Rambam with me. This is the Rambam in Yalei Chazaka. There's Srafim, Er Elim, Ishim, Chayos Hakodesh, Ofanim, Malachim. There's an army, right? And Malachim are in groups, and these are the ten groups that the Malach is in. Right? And they call different names. They have different names. Chayos Hakodesh and Er Elim. Okay. So that's what it means. Mimailos rabbos v'shonos. It's still not simple. It's very complex, right? And Malach is chosen to do something because is what he's supposed to be doing. It's his physical. It's his spiritual makeup to carry out a certain task. They have laws of nature. Again, we think of laws of nature in the physical world, so we know what laws of nature mean. He says there's laws of nature in the spiritual world. And malachim, I don't know what it is, malachim can't go from one end of the world to the other in less than 2 seconds flat. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but they have their rules that they are mugbal by. Okay, that's a bad example because that's talking about Gashmius. But even Ruchniusic beings have their Hagbalot, what they can do, what they can't do. Okay? I guess the equivalent of a person would be you have Domein, Tzomeach, Chai, Medaber. So you have Malachim, Ofanim, Chayos HaKodesh, right? It's like that type of category, like Srafim, Ofanim, Chayos HaKodesh. Okay, so you have Gashmius, five senses, Elyonim and Tachtonim. You have Ruchnius, which are Neshama and Nivdalim. In Nivdolim, you have Kochos and Malachim. Okay? And in Malachim, you have different types of Malachim. In Kochos, you have different types of Kochos. Okay, this is the system. Now, he just throws in something. Again, he's laying the groundwork for what he's going to say. That's why it's here. This is not the limud of Ramchal, not for this. It's when he goes on to elaborate, he says what happens when when anything happens in the world. It's happening in Shemayim. He says it's not happening in this world. When Russia collapses, when there's a bankruptcy in a company, when people get fired, people get killed, there's an intifada, right? Everything's happening in Shemayim. And then it just comes down to earth in the form that it comes down. But these things are happening in Shemayim. We didn't learn that. What? We don't know because we don't have a picture of the forces of Ruchnius and Shemayim. But it means it happens in Shemayim. Because that's how Hashem. What?
Why does it need to happen in Shemayim? Why?
That's how Hashem made the world. That what happens in the world is only the final link of a chain. Sulamusov Artsov Roshom Angiya Hashemayma. It's the decisions and the forces. What does Rashi say? Who's Mitzrayim? The Tsar of Mitzrayim, the Malach of Mitzrayim was coming. You can be sure that when Russia collapsed after 90 years, there was a Malach in Shemayim that Hashem said, I had enough of you already. And he threw him down, Hishlach Mishamayim Eretz. And the end of all that long links of a chain was the collapse of Russia. Germany, anything that happens starts in Shemayim. That's
what it's our actions that influence.
That's when there's Bechira. He's going to talk about that too. Communism didn't happen Bechira. It was a force of history. Hashem did that. Even when you have Bechira, you don't make things happen. It's just you cause the Shemayim, you cause something to happen in the Ruchnius forces up there, and then it comes back down again. It's like you press a button, I make a bad choice, you press a button, you weaken the Malach of Chesed, you weaken the Malach of Tov, you weaken that Malach, and then it, what? I didn't say Chesed. Say the Malach Tov, the Malach that is in charge of making a chef of the economy. He's in charge of the economy of a particular area. This is all Gashmiistic ways of describing it. I'm doing this is the only way we have of describing it. Hashem made the world. You can ask why, but the Shemayim's in charge. The spiritual forces are what lies behind everything. The final result is what we see down here. We see a result of it. Some English is destroyed. But something happened in Shemayim. Something fundamentally wrong went wrong in Shemayim. That happened through our Bechira. But in Shemayim, the Beis HaMikdash Shel Milo, right? We talk about Beis HaMikdash Shel Milo. It was also Nisraf. Industrial Revolution. In most of the world, people don't use animals anymore, right? They use this paradigm shift happened in Shemayim. Something happened in Shemayim that no more slaves, right? It's in the Torah slaves. That's like a really, really big kiddush. No more slaves. The world looks at slavery now, except if Muslims do it, then everything's okay. But the world looks at slavery now as being a bad thing, a terrible thing, an immoral thing. That happened in Shemayim. Again, everything has its deep source, deep root in Shemayim. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. He's really going to describe this better than I am describing it. We're getting ahead. We're up to, I want to finish this paragraph. So we said there's Kochos, there's Neshamos, and Nivdalim. Nivdalim means totally Nivdal. Totally transcendent. Neshamos are going to connect to a guf and be mashpia on the guf and be mushpa from the guf. And that's like, and that's the highest spiritual entity that there is the neshama. Especially the neshama of a yid, neshama of a Jew. Chelik aloka mimal. It doesn't come any better than that. And that gets plunged into the mud, and that's why it's its own category. The other category is Nivdalim, that never connect to anything Gashmi. They are mashpia on it, but they don't connect. They don't become part of the Gashmiistic world. You don't need them like a dough. They don't become part of anything Gashmi. They're always aloof. Aloof. A-L-O-O-F. They're always aloof from anything Gashmi. So that's the Nivdalim. In the Nivdalim, there's Kolchos, and then there's Malachim. Now he says, and there's one thing. So wait. Let's not make a mistake now. So neshamos are pure ruchni, a very, very high ruchni form, the highest ruchni form, and it connects and it's hooked up and it's misgabel with gashmi, right? But then you have something, but all you have is gashmi or ruchni. So now he says, no, there's something. It's like you only have this day and night, but you have bein hashmashos, right? You have a twilight zone bria. That's not exactly Gashmi, but not exactly Ruchni. Not to be confused with a person who's pure Ruchni that's hooked up to pure Gashmi. But then there's an entity where it doesn't have to eat or drink. It's not really Gashmi, but it's not really Ruchni. It's not, and that's Shadim. That's what it's called Shadim. Now, Shadim are not necessarily bad people. Some of my best friends of Shadim are Shadim. They're not necessarily bad. Shadim are not bad. The stories we have of Shadim, they're usually used for bad. But Ramchal's not getting into that now.
Ramchal, D-book?
He called, what?
Is the Shade D-book the same thing?
Let's just use Ramchal's word. I don't know. A shade is a shade. And it's Benash Moshos. It's Twilight Zone. It's not exactly Gashmi. They don't propagate, they don't eat, they don't drink. But they're not exactly Ruchni. They are Mugbal. They can't be in, you know, they can't fly all over. They have limitations in their powers. So it's a twilight zone, that's all. V'ula mintum menechad shel nivron, shekmo emtsoi. It's in the middle, bein Ruchni v'Gashmi. Okay, you can't see them with your senses. Maybe people used to think that bacteria and germs, they didn't know it by those names. They used to think they were like kochos, or maybe even shadim. Now we know they're very physical, and we know germs are a part of the mamish, the physical world. A way to relate to this, by the way, if even in the physical world, there's so much going on that we don't have any connection to, because we need tools. Germs, bacteria, the hearing of a dog, the way a bat sees things. People are very limited in our abilities. Right? A dog can hear things. A dog could smell things that we don't smell. A dog could smell if a squirrel was here 10 minutes ago. We don't know what that is. Right? And certainly we know about a dog whistle. The dog hears things that we don't hear. So, you see, and that's already Gashmi, because ultimately it could be, I don't know, you know, until modern day discoveries, so they thought Choli was maybe caused by Malachim or Kolchos, and now we know they're directly caused by physical things called germs and bacteria, and they're very, very physical. So, there might be more to the physical world. Where are we holding by? Quarks, we're holding by, whatever we're holding by, but there's a lot of stuff going on. But at least you realize, because to us, the only thing that's real are things we could tell with our senses. But then you say, germs are real. It's relatively recent that germs became real, right? How many years? 200 years? I don't even know if it's 300 years. When Madame Curie knows she's the germs? That's what I read in school. I don't know. That's what they told me. Pasteur, Louis Pasteur, what was he? He was also germs. Was he married to Madame Curie? Or, I don't know. Sounds like a good couple. Good children. Somebody discovered germs, bacteria. Anyway, but no, look. They used to, I'm sure they thought it was Kolchos. The person learning Ramchal and says people get sick. You know, and now we know that germs are physical, so we don't know what else is really physical lurking, and we don't know about it. And Kaponim, let's go back to Sheidim. In the Ramchal's world, Sheidim are just, he described physical things, you could see it, you could interact with it through the senses. That's how you know that it's there. You might need tools, but it's there. Ruchnius, well, what?
In Europe, people said they saw the
Shindalim. Yeah, they're not completely Ruchni, but they're not completely Gashmi either. That's all. Well, here he says it's not. Vagam eino nigbo b'chol gvulei hageshem hamur gosh v'chukov. They're not limited. Maybe they don't have to eat. They can't starve to death. So they're not really physical. So a lot of whoever's making these lists will call them Ruchni, even though they're really not, but they're not Gashmi. They play completely different roles and are different entities than Malachim. It has its own set of rules. The Sheidim, that's all. It's its own sug b'fnei atzmo. Shehu min ha-Sheidim. Hulagam hu yuschalag le'pratim achodim. It's very, very complicated. Nothing is simple. There's not just one Sheid out there. The Gemara describes tens of thousands of Sheidim that accompany us everywhere we go. And if we would be able to see them, the Gemara says, we would be so frightened we wouldn't be able to function. Way she Yosheb Amin Akloli Sug Lagabeim Vehem Mina Meilov. Yeah.
I think the Muslim martyrs, they call them the Shabbatim. Shabbatim martyr is Arabs or terrorists? They call Shabbatim.
We were first. Right. What do you think Allah is? Allah is just a word for Kale or Elokim. Okay, so you have Gashmius, Ruchnius, and Sheidim. But we could put aside Sheidim. That was just to make you realize that once you think you get it, it's even more complex. A person is, you think about it, it's absolutely scary. A person is totally unique. In this whole complicated, varied universe, a person is unique. The osmurko mishnei mine bria nivdalim lagamri. Nivdalim here means separate. Doesn't mean the same nivdal as before. It's a verb also. I mean, completely separate. And they're hooked up. It's amazing. In Shulchan Aruch it says many shitas old when you say Baruch Ata Hashem Rofeichol Basorim Mafli la'asos. It does amazing, wondrous things. The Torah brings out a pshat that it means he's kosher. Total Ruchni with total Gashmi. That's the Mafli La'asos. Amazing. Because the Neshama is like very high. It's higher than all the Malachim. It's higher than all the Kolchos. The only ones that transcend heaven and earth. Oh, I shouldn't say heaven and earth anymore. I should say Gashmi and Ruchni. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Sorry.